we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 7th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let the games begin! The 13th African Games officially open Friday in Accra, Ghana. Team South Africa is going to Ghana with a blend of youthful and experienced athletes. This will be South Africa's 8th appearance at the Continental Games, having first competed in the 1995 edition. Since then, South Africa has steadily climbed up the all-time medal table, currently occupying third spot behind Nigeria and Egypt. Myron Nyka takes a closer look at what the African Games potentially hold for Team South Africa. Sporty greetings, Myron!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. A squad of 214 athletes and 45 officials will represent Team South Africa at the Games in Ghana. There are varying targets for athletes as some chase Olympic qualification, valuable ranking points, as well as international exposure. The Paris 2024 Olympics may be looming, but the national sports body in the country, SASCOC, says this team will focus on other areas of development and growth. Barry Hendricks is the body's president.
Yes, there's no doubt. This is a traditional event in the build-up to the Olympics and Paralympics. It gives our athletes an opportunity to participate in a multi-coded environment. Usually they only go to their own individual hockey events or cricket events. Here they are part and parcel of a bigger Team South Africa with support services such as medical staff, with our staff as well, part of management. And we go there to support them so that they can get used to this environment before they go to mega events like the Olympics, Paralympics and Commonwealth Games.
South Africa is one of the continent's leading countries at global events, sitting just behind Kenya from an Olympic medal perspective. Hendricks says the country's past performances and vast resources across sports like swimming, cycling, cricket and hockey means they will arrive at the Games with a sense of pressure to deliver medals.
Oh yes, there's no doubt. Our swimmers have always fared well. Our athletes have always fared well. We're having cricket for the first time ever in preparation to LA 2028. So all of them have expectations not only to perform well, but also to qualify. Some of them are qualifying for the Olympics, and they're using this event as a springboard for those qualifiers.
Swimming South Africa says they opted not to send any of their Olympic athletes to Accra. Instead, they've chosen a group of emerging swimmers as they target upcoming international meets and begin preparations for the 2028 Olympics in Los Angeles.
So this is our next generation of swimmers, and what we're hoping for these swimmers to suddenly stand up and make their mark at these games. We want to try win as many medals as we can and give these swimmers the opportunity of competing against the top swimmers in Africa. And what we're looking to try and do, obviously North Africa, Tunisia and Egypt have very strong teams. So we're hoping that we can be competitive against Egypt and Tunisia. If we can do that with these swimmers, then we're really going to be happy with the results at the African Games.
That was Dean Price, Swimming South Africa's high performance manager.
It'll also be a very new opportunity for the sport of cricket, which features at the Games for the first time in its history. Dinesha Devnarine, a former South African all-rounder, is head coach of the team. She's looking forward to seeing the standard of play across the continent as the sport of cricket grows in Africa.
Yeah, I think just being a, you know, a student of the game or a custodian of the game, it's always nice to see different nations playing the game. The more exposure that the game gets in different countries and in different regions, I think any person that's a lover of cricket will enjoy that. Yeah, but for me personally, I think it's going to be nice to see what the continent has to offer. Now there's so many opportunities with leagues around the world. I think it's a great opportunity for players in the African continent to, you know, showcase their skill and have an opportunity or a platform to, you know, put their hands up to say that they can compete on a world stage or a global event.
Some South African athletes have already arrived in Ghana. Team South Africa are embracing the pressure that comes with wearing national colours and are ready to mix it up with the other 53 African nations competing. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Myron Naika in Durban, South Africa.
Thanks, Myron. The opening of the 13th African Games on Friday coincides with International Women's Day. Iron Mike Mbonye had a chance to talk with two Nigerian female wrestlers who are confident of reaching the podium in Ghana. And Iron Mike joins us now from Ghana's capital, Accra. Sporty African Games greetings, Iron Mike!
Sporty African Games greetings. Two female Nigerian wrestlers say they are sure of winning medals for Team Nigeria at the 13th African Games in Ghana. The athletes also urge fellow women in sports to continue to excel in their fields and areas of specialization. One of the athletes, Blessing Oborodudu, an Olympic silver medalist who competes in the 68 kilograms, says she's in Ghana to win the gold medal.
This is my third All African Games, and I'm here for my 100% best and to win the gold medal.
So the question is, at the African Games, everybody knows that you're a world champion, Olympic silver medalist. The whole of Africa will be all out to see how they will win you. So what kind of opposition are you expecting, and how are you planning to overcome it?
For me, it's a normal thing. All I need to do is to have focus and do what I know is right, and I'm good to go.
Odunayo Adekuroye, a 3-time Commonwealth gold medalist, 7-time African champion, who competes in the 57 kilogram, shares same optimism of podium performance at the African Games.
By the special grace of God, I'm going for gold. This will be my third All African Games, and in the last two All African Games, I won a gold medal. So I'm expecting nothing short of gold. I don't see any tournament as a small tournament or a big tournament. I take all tournaments as same. So I'm expecting anybody that comes my way.
The Nigerian female athletes sent messages of solidarity and encouragement to all women in sports to continue to excel as the world marks the International Women's Day. First to speak is Blessing Oborodudu.
My message for them, for the women in sports, that we should have confidence. We have been doing it. This is not the first time. And I'm proud of being a woman. And we should have confidence, self-discipline, and just being yourself. I think as a woman, you need discipline, you need perseverance, you need self-discipline, and also respect others. And my little advice to them, that being yourself, that is the most important thing for women.
For Odunayo Adekuroye, every woman in sports should be proud of herself.
So my fellow women in sports, we should think great, work towards our goals, and we'll achieve it with discipline. And to every woman out there, be proud of yourself. We are beautiful.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Iron Mike Mbonye in Accra, Ghana.
Sporty greetings. This is Odunayo Folashade Adekuroye, your favorite wrestler, the dancing wrestler. 3-time Commonwealth gold medalist, 4-time world medalist, 7-time African champion. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com.
My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My ex, formerly known as Twitter handle, is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of Africa news. For world news, go to voanews.com. The sun is setting on the Sunny Side of Sports. I'll be retiring from the Voice of America. My last show will be March 27th. I'll be leaving the Voice of America after nearly 36 years here and with lots of good memories. The Sunny Side of Sports has its origins at the 1998 FIFA World Cup in France, where the Voice of America sent me for coverage of football's premier event. I have fond memories of doing World Cup telephone chats from Paris to Washington with the VOA's late, great, gallant Ghanaian, King Richard Coty. King Richard died in 2003 here in Washington from complications of a stroke. King Richard had a deep, beautiful voice. And when he was especially happy in the office, he would break out into song, often about his beloved Black Stars of Ghana. Go Black Stars! But let's get back to that 1998 FIFA World Cup. Host France beat defending champion Brazil 3-0 in the final, which was held at the Stade de France in Saint-Denis, just outside Paris. The stadium will also host the athletics competition and the closing ceremony at this year's Paris Olympics. For decades, the ethnically mixed working-class department of Saint-Denis has faced a lot of negative stereotypes, but it's angling for a different image when it welcomes part of this year's Olympic and Paralympic Games. Many hope the Olympics construction projects now underway will go beyond an urban facelift and deliver lasting change. Lisa Bryant reports from Saint-Denis.
These days, Saint-Denis seems like one big construction site. There are works to help green the town, bring in new public transport, and because of the Paris Olympics. Last week, President Emmanuel Macron inaugurated the new Olympic Village that is spread across Saint-Denis and two other suburban towns located a few kilometers from the French capital. The site will house some 23,000 Olympic and Paralympic athletes during the two events and include a restaurant and a fitness center. Mathieu Hanotin is the mayor of Saint-Denis.
The heritage will be colossal. It will be the Olympic Village, but also bridges, footbridges, the Olympic swimming pool, and some key and massive urban renewal projects.
After the Games, officials say the green-friendly village will be turned into public and private housing and offices aimed for low-income residents, students, and professionals. Saint-Denis' new center for Olympic swimming events will later open to the public in an area where 6 in 10 kids can't swim. The Seine-Saint-Denis department is known as the poorest in France. Going by the nickname of 9-3, it's been associated, fairly or not, with crime and unrest. Until now, Saint-Denis' main attractions were its football stadium and 12th-century basilica. The Olympics projects have employed thousands of local residents. Mayor Hanata hopes the Games will attract more projects and investment.
I never thought the Games would change everything, but for a town like ours, they're a fantastic opportunity to change faster and better and amount to a new start for Saint-Denis.
Some here share that optimism.
Les Jeux Olympiques, c'est toujours...
Yes, the Olympics are always good for a country economically and for different peoples to meet.
There'll be lots of tourists. I'm for the Olympics.
Others worry about crowds and traffic jams. Some critics claim the French Games won't be as green or as inclusive as authorities promise. Antoine Duclair is coordinator for the reverse side of the medal campaign.
We see a lot of evictions of homeless people or people living in slums and squats in all Olympics sites, but all across the city as well. So they try to put away and make invisible all the poverty that we have all around here in Paris.
Authorities deny accusations of so-called social cleansing and say they are arranging voluntary housing for the homeless. Mayor Hanotin believes France has a responsibility to deliver success, not just for Olympic athletes and tourists, but also for the people here. Lisa Bryant, VOA News, Saint-Denis, France.
Thanks, Lisa. The 2024 Olympics are scheduled from July 26th to August 11th in France, and the Paralympics are scheduled from August 28th to September 8th.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
The Voice of America is once again a proud broadcasting partner of the Men's Basketball Africa League, or BAL, which will tip off its fourth season on Saturday, March 9th, in Pretoria, South Africa. In the opening game, BAL debutante FUS Rabat of Morocco will meet Petro de Luanda of Angola. Now, Petro has reached the BAL playoffs in all three previous BAL seasons. In 2021, the Angolan squad finished third overall. In 2022, Petro was runner-up, losing in the final to U.S. Monastir of Tunisia. And in 2023, Petro de Luanda finished fourth overall. In the second game on Saturday, the home team, Cape Town Tigers of South Africa, will face Dynamo Basketball Club of Burundi. Dynamo, like Rabat, is making its BAL debut. The four teams in Pretoria, Rabat, Petro, Cape Town Tigers, and Dynamo, make up the new Kalahari Conference. The games will continue through March 17th, and they'll be played at the 8,500-seat Sunbet Arena. The Basketball Africa League is a partnership between the International Basketball Federation, FIBA, and the National Basketball Association, the NBA.
Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro. Sporty greetings, Mukbil.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. What's going on?
Mukbil, as I mentioned earlier, the NBA is sponsoring the fourth season of the Basketball Africa League. Eight NBA games on Wednesday night. In California, a matchup between two California clubs, the Sacramento Kings and the Los Angeles Lakers. De'Aaron Fox ties his career high with 44 points. Tell our listeners about Fox, Mukbil.
Yeah, Sonny, De'Aaron Fox is one of those high-level guards, arguably probably one of the fastest guards in the NBA. Jeff Teague, former NBA player, recently said on a pod that De'Aaron was one of the players that retired him because of just how fast he was. So in his later years, he had a stint in Sacramento, and he was like just trying to keep up with this kid's pace in practice was just unreal. But outside of that, you know, he comes in from that draft class with Lonzo Ball. You know, I think Tatum as well was in that draft class. So this is a very, very talented draft class. And a lot of them are still showing their class, really, in essence, right? And you're in the West, and you're going up against the LA Lakers. Their record is 35-26, so they got one more win than the Lakers. The Lakers are 34-30. The West is packed, Sonny, when I tell you.
How are the Kings shaping up in terms of the playoffs, Muckbill? Do you think they could be a team to really, show its strength?
So at the moment, if you just look at the standings, I'm pretty sure they're just above that play-in type of game. So I think they're in that sixth slot right now.
Okay.
So L.A. Lakers, the Suns, there's a ton of teams right now that are in that 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th position, and it's shaping up to be an unbelievable playoff run if everything stays as is. But there's still 20 games left, just about a little under 20 games left. This is the time and where you get wins like this that are going to mean something moving forward. So I'm sure this young team definitely was excited to get another win against another huge California opponent.
Muckbill, let's stay out west in the NBA. In the northwestern U.S. city of Portland, Oregon, the Thunder stormed past the Portland Trailblazers 128-120. Our man Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 37 points for the Thunder. They look like they could be a formidable team in the playoffs.
Silky smooth Shai, man. His game is never rushed. It doesn't matter who's guarding him. Doesn't matter what time of what's on the shot clock. It doesn't matter what's happening. It seems like he's always going at his own pace, which is unbelievable. This is a young team that really has shown through over 60 games right now, Sonny, that they are a top contender in the West. If I'm not mistaken, I believe they're number two in the West at the moment, maybe just right under the Minnesota Timberwolves. So I'm excited to see what this team does later on. If you're in that slot right now, unless you go on this ridiculous losing streak, I don't see them, moving too much from maybe, let's say, a top two to top four position, as long as everybody's able to stay healthy. So I'm excited to see what they do in the playoffs, because they're going to go up against a powerhouse, because when you look at the teams that are in the lower portion of the West that are trying to be in that play-in contention, it's the Lakers, the Golden State Warriors, the Phoenix Suns. So it's teams with tons of playoff experience, with tons of veteran players that know the grittiness of the playoffs. And sometimes it's not so much about your skill set as a team and what you've done in the regular season, but what you can put together in a playoff run.
Muckbill, in San Francisco, California, the Golden State Warriors rout the Milwaukee Bucks 125-90. Giannis coming back, I think, from, he's been out a little bit with some Achilles tendon issues, mm-hmm. Achilles tendonitis, but he had 23 points last night. But the Warriors, big win.
Huge win. I mean, I think it's great for them to try to get that confidence back, especially against a formidable Eastern Conference opponent in the Milwaukee Bucks. This is a potential team that, if they click right at the right time, they can put together a very, very great playoff run. Just having two players of the caliber of a Giannis Antetokounmpo and Dame Lillard, you can never count that team out. So Steph and the team, for them to be able to come back and really show themselves and the class that they have, because they took that huge loss against the Celtics just a couple of games ago, where I'm pretty sure I think the entire starting lineup got benched early on.
Wow.
Because that's how big that deficit was. I don't think even Steph, Clay, nor Dre even had double digits. So, you go from that to, look, let's just forget about that. That was one game. We're going to be able to make it back. And they really showed their level of class.
Here in Washington, Muckbill, the Wizards, not a lot to cheer about this season, but two teams really heading in opposite directions. The Orlando Magic, they beat the Wizards 119-109. The Magic win their fifth game in a row. How are they shaping up ahead of the playoffs?
Great young team. I think they may still need just a little bit more experience when it comes to the long stretch of the playoffs. But I think that this is the first time that I'm seeing in a really long time that this organization is, you know, taking into consideration having the right pieces around and building around a player, right? The last time we looked at this team and saw them build around a player was probably Dwight Howard, you know, getting him, you know, the Jameer Nelsons and kind of working it around him. Now you pick up Paolo Banchero, who's an amazing player.
25 points last night, yeah.
You know, he always puts up numbers. You know, he's young enough that he can still learn. He's a sponge. And he doesn't really have much of an ego. So a lot of players like playing with him. Like I said, it's a young cast. So I think this team will be very good in the next couple of years. I think I could see them turning into kind of like the Thunder. When you look at, you know, how youthful they are, they got a ton of guards. They kind of play this positionless basketball, and they're just running up and down, playing together as a unit. So I'm excited to see what they do, you know, maybe in the next couple of years. I think at the moment now they're just kind of getting their footing right, though.
Muckbill, a story we haven't really talked too much about at all this season. The Wizards owner, Ted Leonsis, has talked about moving the team across the Potomac River to Alexandria, Virginia, which is basically a suburb of Washington, D.C. And mixed feelings, I think, among Wizards fans. Their current arena, fairly close to our VOA headquarters in downtown Washington. What's your opinion on a possible move by the Wizards?
I think, to me, you know, I don't really like, personally, when teams leave the respective cities that they're at. You know, if you have to do it for space-wise, I get it, because you want to get a better-looking facility with more space to be able to accommodate not only the fans, but, you know, make sure that the athletes get the best possible situation so that they can be successful. I can understand that perspective. So them saying that they need that space, cool, that's understandable. But the space they're going to is a very tighter space. It's not like Alexandria doesn't really have this lush, huge, open land. You know what I mean? You're trying right. to move over to like the Potomac Yard area.
It's literally right next to the river.
It's
right?
literally super close. Yeah, and it's very tight. So that play, I don't really understand it. But more than anything else, outside of the fact that it will kind of deter folks from wanting to get the experience, right? Because what it does for the DC team is the DC teams always bring together the tri-state area. Folks that live in Maryland, folks that live in Virginia, come into the district, whether they're coming to work for some people or when they're coming to watch the sports teams in DC play. It's like an outing. It's like an event. It's a night out, right? But for now, folks to, you know, like me, let's say, for instance, I live in Alexandria. For me, just to go over to the other side of Alexandria to go watch the Wizards play, I wouldn't even feel like I'm missing out on that fact that I'm going to the city to watch the team play. So I think some folks will kind of miss out on that aspect, but ultimately, you know, the team owners and folks will do what is best for the team.
One other result from Wednesday night. Let's see, Muckbill. The Clippers, 122-116 winners over the Houston Rockets. Clippers now 40 wins and 21 losses. Your thoughts on the Clippers?
Very scary team, Sonny. Above all else, I believe at one point I was kind of just, you know, skimming through some of the games. I seen Houston was up by 20 at one point. And for the Clippers to be able to make that differential back shows you that this is a team that, you know, here again, we're going to that playoff conversation. This is one of the few teams that have the playoff experience that are doing relatively well in the regular season, whereas the other teams are kind of struggling. The Lakers, the Suns, you know, and the likes are having a difficulty not being able to showcase their skills in the regular season.
Talking NBA hoops with Muckbill Yabarrow. Thank you, Muckbill.
Thanks, Sonny.
And that wraps up the March 7th edition of the show. Thanks to Muckbill for his production this evening. Thank you for tuning in. And that's the sunny side of sports.
Get it?